This is 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge and WRKF.org. I'm Amy Jeffries. It's Friday, time for some insight. This week, the Public Affairs Research Council of Louisiana put out a commentary on state ethics policies. Robert Travis Scott, president of PAR, is here to discuss the recommendations with me. Hi, Robert.
Thanks to be with you again.
First of all, PAR, you've written here, thinks that lawmakers should fix the recusal law so that officials have to disclose the potential conflict for which they are recusing themselves from a debate or a vote. So what does that recommendation stem from?
Well, during Bobby Jindal's ethics overhaul back in 2008, he made a lot of good changes to our ethics system. One of the things they changed, though, was they stopped requiring disclosures of why someone would want to recuse themselves from a vote. And in particular, for elected officials and for appointed officials, we think that you ought to at least be able to say what your conflict of interest might be. Why are you recusing yourself from a vote?
Has there been a particular incident that raised a red flag for you around this particular issue of recusal?
Well, oddly enough, on the Board of Ethics. The Board of Ethics is an appointed board, and we have seen at times members recuse themselves on issues, and we don't know why. I think it would be good just to know what that is. And all they have to do is just say why, register with the body, and then people would know a little bit more about what's going on. I think it would help.
One of the things that has been proposed this year in terms of continuing to tweak ethics policies, which is typical, the lawmakers tend to revisit this year after year in one way or another. Representative John Berthelot from Gonzales has filed a bill to allow public officials to accept gifts worth up to $25, which doesn't sound like very much, but you don't think this is a good idea. Why not?
Well, I think what Representative Berthelot is trying to do is he had a concern that school kids weren't able to give apples to teachers and that sort of thing. And I think if he changes his bill and targets it towards that type of goal, I think that's okay. I think we had an issue on the North Shore just a while back where during the holidays, patrons were bringing cookies to the librarians, and there was an advisory opinion put out that you can't do that. So I think what the Ethics Board is trying to do is come to terms with what are these lower-level petty issues, and are we going too far in being, you know, a nanny state, and how do we enforce this? Well, that's all well and good, except that I think the idea of a $25 limit really is not going to take us where we need to go. What we have now is a standard and a culture in which gifts are not allowed for public employees to influence their role, or if you're going after a contract with that agency, or if you're regulated by that agency. That's a good standard. And the Ethics Board has encouraged this idea that they need to set a de minimis level of what an infraction would be on a gift, what value of gift would then be something that would be substantial. And so they've suggested a $25 limit. Well, it sounds in practical terms like maybe that would work. I think it's going to be impractical, though. It's going to be very hard to enforce that. What are they going to do? Go look up credit card records on and what is the value of something? Is it the price? Is it the discounted price? You know, they're going to have trouble enforcing it. But most importantly, what you've done is you've created now an environment in which it's okay to give gifts to public employees, even those that you seek to influence. And the idea was to make it $25 on one occasion, up to $75 within a particular year. So, I mean, you could buy some nice bottles of wine for somebody, and you could, you know, give some pretty nice gifts over a period of time to public officials for that. It's just not been part of our culture since these types of changes, and I think we ought to keep it that way.
You mentioned that some of these rules came in when Governor Bobby Jindal was first elected to office in 2008, and he's listed ethics reform as one of the hallmarks of his time in the governor's office. He mentioned that during his address on the first day of the session this year. Do you think he really has changed the culture in Louisiana?
I think the culture has evolved over time, especially since Governors Foster and Blanco and now Jindal, we've come a little bit further towards a new standard in which the legislature in particular is a lot more conscious of their image on these types of issues. And so when Bobby Jindal came into office, I think if there was any mandate he had, it was the mandate that he had packaged up about these ethics reforms. And I think part of it that is due to the fact that he helped package it the way he did and sell it. But it was also, I think the state was just ready. Did Bobby bring the culture? Did the culture allow Bobby to come in? I think it's really a little bit more the latter.
And it's interesting that we're looking at ethics at this moment as well. Edwin Edwards, our former governor and former congressman, announced on Monday that he is running for office again. This is a couple of years after he has been released from prison on charges of racketeering. He's been 8 years in prison for that. And yet he's gotten a fairly enthusiastic reception, at least from some corners, to his candidacy for Congress in the 6th District. Could an elected official who was convicted of corruption in the state of Louisiana get elected again?
Well, look, I was from out of state and living out of state when Edwin Edwards was in office here in Louisiana. And, of course, everybody followed the whole David Duke race and so on. But, you know, Louisiana had an image of a place where its leader and leaders liked women and gambling and high life. And, you know, that just sort of went as part of the scene with Louisiana. I think now, after Governors Foster and Blanco and now Jindal, I mean, we're seen as a somewhat boring, more boring place, you know, and even in the case of the David Vitter scandal. I mean, he did not continue to almost brag about it the way probably Edwards might have, you know, had something like that come up. It became an issue for him and one that he wanted to quiet down and move on from, as opposed to the old days when it was something to brag about.
So things have changed.
I think they have, yes.
Well, thank you, Robert, for the conversation, and we'll talk again.
Thanks. Great being here.
Robert Travis Scott is president of PAR. I'm Amy Jeffries. This is 89.3 WRKF.